This is Radio Superior 1953, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from the 1950s. This is a true story of our past. So step back with us to another time. We bring you now inside the KUWS radio studios and the evening Gather Round show.
Hey, come on in and gather round, campers. Tim Michaels here, lighting the campfire. It's Wednesday, June 17th, 1953, and what a show we have for you tonight.
That's always a question to me. When Jack was here, he was always prepared. Well, maybe not always. But once in a blue moon, he was prepared.
We've got the big voices of Judy Garland, William Warfield, Perry Como, the favorite songs of building engineer Axel Fennell.
The guy who shovels coal into the furnace and scares the college students is picking the music.
Miss Ruthie has the secret list of things that make up a good husband. And Rapid Ray has the sports and the love cure for divorce.
And Ray has the love cure for divorce. This could be good.
Got you intrigued, huh? Well, the 6 o'clock news brought to you by Marcus Sporting Goods and Jewelers, celebrating their first birthday under new ownership. Get all glass fishing rods for just $3.50 and red and white daredevils just 19 cents. It's your turn, Newsman Lou.
Thanks, Jim, and good evening, listeners. The Rosenberg's execution has been stayed. 50,000 people riot near East Berlin and fighting halts as a ceasefire is near in Korea. We begin our world report from Washington.
This is the nation's capital, Hightower here. Julius and Ethel Rosenberg have won a stay of execution from a single Supreme Court justice today, but the government moved immediately for a reversal by the full court. In announcing the appeal to the entire bench, Attorney General Herbert Brownell described as unprecedented the action of Justice William O. Douglas in granting the indefinite stay to the Adams Spy team. Just when the court will sit on the matter is something for Chief Justice Fred Vinson to decide. The tribunal on Monday ordered a recess until October, but Vinson can reconvene the court at any time. The court on Monday rejected by a 5-4 vote the Rosenbergs' plea for a stay of execution and a review of their trial. Douglas says he has serious doubts whether the judge who sentenced the couple had the right to send them to the electric chair because they were not tried under the law dealing specifically with atomic espionage. The husband and wife had been scheduled to die at 9 p.m. Thursday in the electric chair at Sing Sing Prison in Ossining, New York. It's reported that Julius Rosenberg took a deep breath and a tenseness left his face. His wife, Ethel, closed her eyes and smiled, and once again, death passed them by. In the nation's capital, this is John Hightower.
Hello, this is Max Jordan along the Korean 38th parallel. The fighting died abruptly early today in the wake of a reported agreement at Panmunjom on a ceasefire line. The hills of eastern Korea, which had rocked for a week to the greatest Chinese communist offensive in 2 years, were quiet except for the occasional clash of patrols and the crash of artillery. Communist loudspeakers along the front blared that there would be an armistice by June 25th, third anniversary of the war. The United Nations and communist negotiators have agreed on the troop line to divide the armies in Korea after an armistice. The agreement is made under secrecy restrictions covering the truce sessions at Panmunjom. The demarcation line laid out by military staff in several intense sessions is based upon the present battle line. There is no immediate word as to whether it took into account the latest Red Offensive. The impression of the officials here is that this communist assault had not made enough real difference in the battle position of the United Nations to materially affect the truce arrangement. The line runs mostly north of the 38th parallel, although it drops south of it in the extreme western area. The agreement is understood here to have removed the last major item standing in the way of a final full understanding on a truce. Nonetheless, it is indicated that for reasons not apparent at the moment, it may be days before a final truce agreement is signed. In Panmunjom, this is Max Jordan.
This is Stan Turner in West Berlin. 50,000 rioters exploded a four-hour revolt against Red Rule in East Berlin today. Backed by tanks and armored cars, Soviet troops fired on the workers. Russian authorities declared martial law. The East Berliners hauled down and burned the red flag, called German communist officials, and shouted, "Ivan, go home!" But the drastic military action dispersed the crowds and ended the violence. No accurate account of casualties is available. At least one pedestrian had been killed and several wounded. The revolt in Berlin, 100 miles inside the Soviet occupation zone of Germany, started yesterday as a stage-managed parade in which 5,000 workers marched to the East German government headquarters demanding lighter working schedules. Apparently, the government intended to show its newfound policy of freedom and democracy by allowing the workers to demonstrate. The movement got out of hand. Everybody with a gripe cast caution to the wind today, and workers called a general strike. After East Berlin police vainly battled to stem the tide of rioting, green-helmeted Soviet troops amounting to a regimental combat team, perhaps 3,000 men, were called in. Tanks deployed against the workers. Gunfire echoed where the biggest crowds were gathered. The people attacked tanks with stones and disabled at least one with a log jammed into the tread. But the demonstrators scattered. Finally, about 2 o'clock this afternoon, Eastern Sector Military Commander Major General P.P. Dubrova imposed martial law on East Berlin. The order forbids gatherings of more than 3 people on the street and imposed a 9 p.m. to 5 a.m. curfew on all pedestrian and vehicle traffic. The order, in effect, took authority out of the hands of the Russian puppets, the East Berlin government, and rolled the situation back to that of 1945 when the Russians ruled with their own iron hand. Surprised by the violent turn, West German and Allied authorities predict the Russians will now uncork some new dramatic move, perhaps even an approach to the West on unifying the city. Before the West German parliament in Bonn, Chancellor Konrad Adenauer says the rioting represents, quote, "a great demonstration of the East German people's will. Communist oppression can be cured only through the reunification of our country in freedom," end quote. In West Berlin, this is Stan Turner.
This is Washington. Lyle C. Wilson, United Press. President Eisenhower says it is all right with him if the State Department burns books which openly appeal for the communist way of life. The department can do as it pleases on that score, the president told a news conference today. Eisenhower declined to say whether his attack on book burning in a speech at Dartmouth College Sunday was aimed at Senator Joseph McCarthy. McCarthy has been sharply criticizing the State Department for permitting books by communist authors to be placed in libraries abroad operated by the U.S. Information Program. Since the Eisenhower administration came into power this year, the department has ordered such books removed from those libraries. At the news conference, the president also described the anti-communist riots in East Berlin as significant, but did not speculate as to what they may mean. He says they disprove communist stories of happy people behind the Iron Curtain. He also is backing Secretary of State John Dulles. The president says Dulles is correct in saying that the administration is considering opening up the political conference to Far Eastern problems rather than limiting the discussion to Korea. Dulles says that should happen as soon as a truce is reached in Panmunjom. The president says there is no such thing as a real Korean armistice, which merely would free Chinese forces for possible new aggression. In the nation's capital, this is Lyle C. Wilson.
Senator Alexander Wiley of Wisconsin says the riots in communist East Berlin, and we now quote, are unquestionably a symptom of general unrest in Soviet Russia and her satellites. This is just an indication of what I think is a condition prevalent in all communist areas, unquote. Wiley's chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. He told reporters that the unrest is the reason why there is an apparent desire to arrange an armistice in Korea. The Defense Department today said an army patrol captured a Japanese World War II straggler in the mountainous province south of Manila. The holdout, 35-year-old Private Calchero Inchi, told Army investigators he did not know that the war had ended. KUWS Radio News Time is 6:07. Tim Michaels has this message from Marcus Company.
Well, there's a big birthday celebration going on. It's a big three-day sale at Marcus Jewelers, and did you know that they're under new ownership? That's right. Bill Finn and Maury Arnovich invite you to come on in and enjoy the celebration. There'll be free attendance prizes. Come in and register. No purchase necessary, and you need not be present at the drawing. And boy, have they got some great specials for you. You can get an all-glass fishing rod for $3.50, Shakespeare-level wielding reels for $4.80. It's a big celebration going on there, one-year celebration, and it's going on for 3 days. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, June 18th, 19th, and 20th at Marcus Jewelers. Their first celebration, first birthday celebration under new ownership at 8th and Tower in Superior. Now back to you, Lou.
Touring arrangements for the 6 trade unionists from Germany who are expected in Superior and Duluth tomorrow and Friday have been completed. Men who are in this country as part of the Marshall Plan will be the guests of the Dairy Farmers Union Local 293. Visits include a trip to the farms in Douglas County, the Arrowhead Creamery in Duluth, and an inspection of the dairy herd at the Douglas County Sanitarium in Parkland. The men will also visit the Jake Schmidt Farm in Foxboro and the Carl Schemenick Farm in Wentworth. 35 men received employment at the loading hoist Ashland's Consolidated Water Power and Paper Company. The tug Butterfield arrived yesterday afternoon from Otter Cove with the first raft load of pulpwood for the season. The Butterfield is to leave early tomorrow for Black Bay in Canada, with the second raft arriving back in Ashland in a week or 10 days. Contributions totaling $3,400 have been made to the Superior Chapter of the Cancer Society, but President W.R. Bolton says the quota of $3,880 has not been reached, so he's appealing to all who have not contributed to send their funds in care of the Superior Post Office. That's the 6 o'clock news, Tim.
Great newscast, Lou. You are flawless. Boy, you think you've been doing this for 25 years.
26, to be exact.
Oh, you must be really up there. Age-wise, I mean.
Do the weather, Tim.
Writing news on stone tablets must have been really slow.
Do the weather,
Electricity
Tim.
Electricity and light bulbs are good, aren't they?
Candlelight wasn't too bad. Do the weather, Tim.
The Weather Bureau forecast for this Wednesday evening, June 17th, 1953, is wet and wild. T-storms possible for tonight and tomorrow, with a high Thursday at 75. Now, the big voices, tunes picked out by the building engineer Axel Fennell. Let's kick it off with Erskine Hawkins and his 1945 hit, Don't Cry Baby, the Evening Gather Round Show.
Let's be sweethearts again. You know I didn't mean to ever treat you so mean. Come on, sweetheart, let's try it all. Thank you. again.
Axel Fennell's first pick, Don't Cry Baby by Erskine Hawkins.
Hey, how come you never ask me for my list of favorite songs? Huh? What's Axel Fennell got over me? Building engineers aren't as sophisticated as radio engineers, you know.
Yeah, but you like polkas and Spike Jones.
Like I said, sophisticated. Now, move your leg. I got to get under the console here. Go ahead. Pretend I'm not even here.
Hmm.
You can have
just like you're invisible.
She's too fit. Hey, would you look at this? Now, this brings me back.
Maybe you could find something to make you go away.
See this valve? It's hidden behind all the bubble gum stuck under the console. Jack was terrible at putting his gum under the console. Disgusting.
So that's why I've been ruining my pant legs. What's the valve do?
Well, if I don't miss my guess, we'll know in a second. Go ahead and do whatever it is that you do.
Okay, ladies.
Tight home shoes, summer casuals for work or play. Cool, comfortable casuals, ideal for all occasion wear. White mesh with white, smooth leather with cushion wedge for comfort. Only $2.99 a pair. That's at Trade Home Shoes, 1515 Tower Avenue, dial 4188. I sound like a crazy man.
It's Jack's old helium model. I turned it on whenever he got bored of some guest windbag.
Well, this makes it sound stupid.
All right. I'll have it out in a jiffy.
No way, Jose. I love it. Woo! Now, Axel Fennell's second pick, Perry Como. If I Love You on the Evening Gather Round Show. I wonder if helium can have an effect on Perry.
I'm turning that valve off. I don't want Perry Como mad at us.
If I love you time and again, I would try to say all I'd want you to know. If I love you, words wouldn't come in an easy way, round in circles I'd go. Longing to tell you, but afraid and shy, I'd let my golden chances pass me. If I love you.
Harry Como and If I Loved You on KUWS. Now, Rapid Ray Paulson has all the news from the sporting world.
Turn off the helium valve, Timmy.
But it's fun.
Turn it off, Timmy.
I told him he shouldn't play with this stuff. You know, your voice could permanently stay like this if you're not careful.
Cool, we could all get jobs in the circus.
Turn it off, Timmy.
Okay. Okay.
How's that?
Sounds okay.
Be gone, Mickey Mouse voice.
Sounds good. Say, my voice didn't change back. How is it now? This better not be permanent.
Better do your sports there, RR.
Gotcha. Hello, fans of the sporting news. Mr. Weatherman, with a variety of deadly weapons, has dealt the Superior Blues more discouraging blows this summer than in the past few years combined. With a month and a half of the campaign completed, the local nine has been forced into postponements 10 times. The postponements at Municipal Stadium is taking a big toll at the Blues box office. Most destructive has been rainouts with the hated Duluth Dukes, which always draw big crowds. And the woes for the Blues continue to pile up. The Chiefs of Grand Forks dealt a hometown lethal blue at Muni Stadium last night with a twin bill sweep by the Chiefs. 1,100 fans saw the Blues lose both ends of a doubleheader, 6-5 and 2-1. Ace Gideon Applegate started the first game and pitched one-hit ball until the fifth inning. Then he walked 9 men. Ouch. 2 walks and a couple of hits for Emo Piscopo helped make it a ball game again. Piscopo is singled, followed by doubles by Dick Anderson and Ron Orlandi. That made it close. The Duluth Dukies didn't have any better luck at their West Duluth Municipal Stadium last night, thanks to a homer by young Roger Maris to open the ninth. The Fargo-Moorhead Twins trimmed the Dukes 11-10 before 4,200 fans. Maris was born in Hibbing and raised in Fargo. Hey, some good news. The Milwaukee Braves are winning big in their first year since moving from Boston. To the merry delight of 23,000 fans at Milwaukee County Stadium, the Braves edged the Philadelphia Phillies 6-5 and 3-2. That victory, coupled with the Brooklyn Dodgers' 6-5 loss to the St. Louis Cards, put the Braves in first place by a game and a half. How about that? 21-year-old Eddie Matthews pounded his 20th home run and drove in 3 for the Braves. His 55 RBIs is just 2 behind league leader Roy Campanella of the Bums. The Braves will have Warren Spahn 7-1 on the hill tonight against the Phils' Bob Miller. And, hey, don't forget wrestling Friday night at the Duluth Armory. A tag team match. Get your tickets at Globe News ringside, just $1.50. Other seats, $1. This is Rapid Ray Paulson reminding you that everyone loves
a good sport.
Turn it off, Timothy. Miss Ruthie is in next to make all of our marriages happy. Axel Fennell's third choice of big voices is one of my faves. And this is William Warfield on the Evening Gather Round Show.
There's an old man called Mississippi. That's the old man that I want to be. What does he care if the world's got troubles? What does he care if the land ain't free? Say nothing, he just keeps
Moorfield and Old Man River from 1952 on KUWS.
I'm taking this bottle of helium out of here before you play with it again and permanently scar my vocal cords. Sheesh, that was a close call, bub.
Spoil sport. Now a minute with Miss Ruthie. Hey, Ruthie.
That's no way to greet a lady. Why don't you just slap me on the back while you're at it?
Okay.
Okay, Buster, I'm going to mess you up.
Time out, time out. You can't fight now.
Oh, I suppose not. We're on the radio, and it's undignified.
And I haven't had a chance to sell the tickets for this match either.
Oh, I never. Well, girls, now, come on, gather round for a minute with Miss Ruthie. Want to make your husbands happy? I've asked men to tell me what they rate as the qualities important to wifedom.
Wifedom?
A man puts good disposition first.
And good gams, too.
She must have a good sense of humor.
Unlike a certain radio advice columnist we know.
Mess you up. A man thinks it's important his wife be a good housekeeper. She shouldn't have gotten married if she had no intention of learning how to run the house efficiently. As for thrift, he's for it, up to a point. What he doesn't like is turning his paycheck over to his wife and having her insist that he account for the small amount he has held out for himself.
Or in Axel Fennell's case, the small amount he holds out for his wife.
And the large amount he holds out for his bartender.
Mr. Martin, I'm surprised that you would join in with this juvenile chicanery.
Sorry, I was all alone in the newsroom.
Newsrooms can be very lonely places.
But the thing a husband objects to most is having his wife and mother-in-law stand together against him in an argument.
Amen. My wife and her mother beat me to a frazzle.
There are exceptions when doing that would be appropriate. It is heartening to note that men don't expect their wives to knock themselves out to make them happy. The modern wife we read so much about who is supposed to be a combination glamour girl,
i.e. great gams,
club woman, and smoothie, who advanced her husband's career by having the right people to dinner.
I.e. engineers of all sorts.
May exist, but she doesn't exist in the letters I get from husbands. Could it be the modern woman just doesn't know what an old-fashioned man she's married to? That's a minute with Miss Ruthie, girls. And the only thing that saved your bacon, buddy, is you didn't turn on that helium thing while I was talking.
Say,
don't even think of it. Thank you, Miss Ruthie Millett.
Axel's last big voice selection for us today is none other than Judy Garland in her classic, You'll Never Walk Alone, on the Evening Gather Round Show.
Chin up high and don't be afraid of the dark. At the end of the storm is a golden sky and the sweet silver song of a
Judy Garland, and You'll Never Walk Alone on KUWS.
I have this bulletin from Washington. Democratic Congressman Wheeler of Georgia told the House that he would introduce a bill within the hour to impeach Supreme Court Justice Douglas. Justice Douglas granted a stay of execution to atomic spies Julius and Ethel Rosenberg. Cheers and applause greeted Wheeler's statement. And I have to say, surprisingly good job by Axel.
I have Axel's list of favorite hobbies, too.
Hobbies are wonderful for men and can help a marriage immensely, especially if they can share those hobbies.
Hobby number one, beer with the boys.
And hobby number two, pool and beer with the boys.
Yeah.
Hobby number three, poker and beer with the boys.
Yeah.
Hobby number four, darts and... Beer with the boys, the most dangerous hobby ever.
You all think you're funny, don't you? Nothing but childish locker room humor.
Ooh, Ruthie's kind of cross, isn't she? What's wrong, Ruth?
Oh, sorry. Maybe I need more sunshine. I'm just not in the mood.
Well, that's probably another thing husbands don't like in wives. Stay tuned for the Best of Groucho and Bob Hope tonight. And on WFTV, there's News and View at 10 o'clock, followed by The Weatherman and Rocky Teller Sports. We'll be back same time, same place on your radio dial, the good Lord willing, and Miss Ruthie doesn't mess us up.
Hey, guys, before we go, my cure for the national divorce problem is get a parakeet.
A parakeet?
May I, Joe? One more time. It might lighten the mood. We want Miss Ruthie to be happy.
I just don't want Miss Ruthie to mess me up.
Okay. Just once more.
See? It makes sense. Give your mother-in-law a parakeet.
Then she'll have something to love. And won't be jealous of the son-in-law who robbed her nest.
Everybody wants to be loved. And the brilliantly plumed parakeet is full of love.
And she'll have someone to talk to.
So you won't mess us up.
I'm not in the mood. Good night.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1953, an original production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Other performances by Duke Skorich, Don Hansen, John Munson, Joey Laporte. All events reported on Radio Superior 1953 are actual accounts from the Superior Evening Telegram. This is your announcer, Mark Snow, speaking. Good night.